Find a Bible. If you did not bring one from home, a Bible will be very needful. And turn to the book of James chapter 2. On Sunday nights we're preaching through the book of James, and we've reached James chapter 2. We're going to cover verses 1 through 13 this evening. James chapter 2. Let's begin with just verse 1. My brothers, as believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, don't show favoritism. Let me reread that last phrase from a couple of other translations. The New American Standard says, with an attitude of personal favoritism. The New King James says, with partiality. Hugo McCord's translation, The Everlasting Gospel, says, showing favoritism. The King James Version says, respect of persons. Again, the NIV says, don't show favoritism. What James is talking about in this section of Scripture, chapter 2, verses 1 through 13, he's talking about prejudice. Prejudice was a very common thing in the days of James. Sadly, prejudice is still a common thing in our day. Now, before we begin to dig into what James has to say about prejudice among the brethren of his day, I want us to define a couple of terms so that we know exactly what we're talking about. The first term we want to define is the word prejudice. The word prejudice means, as it says, to prejudge someone. Prejudice is to judge someone on the basis of their race, their gender, their age, or their social status. Prejudice is to judge someone based on their outward appearance or their outward circumstances of life. It is, in fact, that Job's three friends were guilty of prejudice toward Job. When his three friends, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar, when they approached Job, Job was in such a condition that nobody said anything for 7 days. 7 days. And then they began to accuse Job. They said, Job, you must have done something. If you had done something, this wouldn't have happened to you. And Job had lost his children, and he lost his wealth, and he lost his health, and he lost all of these things. And so his friends were looking at his outward circumstances, and they were judging Job's heart based on his outward circumstances, and their judgment of Job was completely wrong. Completely wrong. A second word that we want to define, a term, is the term respecter of persons. The term respecter of persons found in Old King James a couple of times. That phrase, respecter of persons, is literally translated on appearance of the face. On appearance of the face. And in other words, being respecter of persons means face discrimination. You see just the outward, some, just the face of something, and based on this glance at the face of something on the outside, you pronounce judgment upon that. This is what James is talking about. He's talking about prejudice. He's talking about respecter of persons. And of all places, he's talking about this among the brethren. Among the brethren. In World War I, they had places that were known as rest houses. It was places where all soldiers, regardless of their rank, could go into these rest houses. Whether you were a private or a captain or a general, all soldiers were welcome into these rest houses, and these rest houses were a place of fellowship for the soldiers. And there is a sign on the door of every rest house during World War I, and the sign over the door of each of them said the same thing. And what it said is this, quote, abandon rank all who enter me. Brother, listen to me. So it must be in Christ. The one place where every man and woman and child must really be equal is in Christ. And the scriptures make that clear. Now, you're holding James 2. You're always going to hold James. I want you to go back to Galatians chapter 3. I want us to look at a passage that will be familiar to most of you, but there's some depth in it that you probably haven't thought about. Paul, in context, is talking about us being baptized and coming into Christ. Galatians 3, look what he says, verse 28. He says, there is neither Jew nor Greek. That is, there's neither Jew nor Gentile. Now, in the ancient world, Jew or Gentile was a big deal. And there was a lot of discrimination, a lot of prejudice between the Jews and the Gentiles in the ancient world. A lot of it. And even in the church, there were problems, which led to a conference in the 15th chapter of the book of Acts about the Gentiles being accepted into the body of Christ. Look what he says. He goes on to say, there is neither slave nor free. Neither slave nor free. Paul wrote this during the days of the ancient Roman Empire. In the ancient Roman Empire, about 50% of the people were slaves. But when the church came along, things began, they were very different. Because in a first century worship service, you may have the servant sitting and you may have the master presiding at the Lord's table to the servant in the service. He says there's neither Jew nor Gentile. He says there's neither free nor there is there slave. Look what else he says. He says there's neither male nor female. Male nor female. In the ancient world, a wife was basically the property of her husband. In the ancient world, a woman could not go before a court and testify.
Paul says, now look at the whole verse. Look what he says, verse 28. He says, there is neither Jew nor Gentile. There's not slaves nor free. There's not male nor female. Now watch it. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. We're all one in Christ Jesus. And now, in James chapter 2, in these first 13 verses, James sounds for clearly that discrimination, partiality, call it, dress it up whatever you want to, that prejudice is wrong. And in this passage, James sets forth four reasons why it's wrong. Notice first. James says that prejudice is wrong because prejudice is contrary to the faith that we have in Jesus Christ. It's contrary to the faith that we have in the Lord. Look at verse 1 again. He says, my brothers, as believers, there's no question who he's talking to here. As believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, don't show favoritism. Now I want you to understand what's being talked about in verse 1. In verse 1, James is not talking in regards to the faith of Jesus Christ. He's not talking about Jesus' faith. In verse 1, James is talking in regards of our faith in Jesus. Listen, James is saying, if you believe that Jesus is the Lord, and that's what he says, the Lord Jesus Christ, if you believe that Jesus is Lord, Lord, if Jesus is your master, Lord, he's ruler, if you believe that Jesus Christ is the ruler, then it is inconsistent for you to talk out of the other side of your mouth and be discriminative towards somebody else. If Jesus is your Lord, it is inconsistent that you would be prejudiced towards somebody else. You see, prejudice, discrimination, stands against everything that Jesus was. Prejudice stands against everything that Jesus ever taught, and it stands against everything that he ever lived. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, or whosoever, should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus died for every man. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9. Jesus Christ tasted death for every man. Every man. Remember, the scope of the gospel is worldwide. When Jesus gave the Great Commission in Mark's account, in Mark the 16th chapter, the 15th verse, Jesus said, go into all of the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Discrimination against somebody, discrimination against somebody for any kind of a carnal, outward reason is wrong because it's contrary to the faith that we hold in Jesus. So basically what James is saying there in verse 1, James is saying when you look at somebody else, you need to see them through the eyes of Jesus. Now if you will look at others through the eyes of Jesus, what are you going to see? Here's what you're going to see. If the person is a Christian, then you're going to see a brother or a sister. A brother or a sister
who is worthy of family consideration because they're in the family. And if you look at somebody who is not a Christian, and if you see this non-Christian, this outsider, if you see them with the eyes of Jesus, then you're going to see, and you're looking at somebody who has been stricken with a spiritual cancer that's called sin, and what that person needs is not my disregard. That person desperately needs my prayer and my help. So James says, brethren, prejudice is wrong because it's contrary to who we believe in. It's contrary to us, our faith in Jesus Christ. Now, in verses 2 through 4, James sets forth a concrete example of prejudice. Now, prejudice comes in many forms, and the form that James is going to illustrate it with is rich and poor. Look at verse 2. Here's James's example of prejudice in the church. He says, suppose a man comes into your meeting, that is your worship service. Suppose a man comes into your service wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in shabby clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, here's a good seat for you, but say to the poor man, you stand there or sit on the floor by my feet, have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? So here's the picture.
A rich man comes into the assembly. James says, you trip on over yourself, finding a place to sit down. Here's a good book. Look, here you go. Come here. This is good, right? Come on, you sit right here. But then a poor man comes in. You stand over there. Or, better yet, you know what? Sit right here. Is that what he said? That's what he said.
Jesus is wrong. It isn't wrong simply because it's rich or poor. It's wrong because discrimination is wrong. Prejudice is wrong because it's contrary to the faith that we have in Jesus Christ. Now, before I leave this point, let me make something very, very clear. Now, does this mean that we cannot ever discriminate? And the answer to that is absolutely not. Absolutely not. As Christians, there are times when we must discriminate. Let me say that again in case you didn't hear it right. There are times as Christians when we must discriminate. But our discrimination must always be not on a spiritual basis, but on a carnal basis. Let me show you. You're holding James 2. You look at me like you sure that. Turn to Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 24. Proverbs 22 and verse 24. The wise man says, do not make friends with a hot-tempered man. Do not associate with one easily angered, or you may learn his ways and get yourself ensnared. Now listen to me. Don't you disregard a good person because they're poor. Don't you disregard a good person because they don't look like you look. And don't associate with yourself, don't associate yourself with a hot-tempered person simply because they're rich. And don't associate yourself with a hot-tempered person simply because they look more like you than the other guy did who you disregarded. James says, back to James 2, James says prejudice is wrong. And he says the reason is wrong is because it's contrary to our faith in Jesus. Number two. The second reason James puts out in James 2 that prejudice is wrong is James says because prejudice is contrary to the will of God. It's contrary to the will of God. James 2, look at verse 5. He says, listen, my dear brothers. Has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and inherit the kingdom? He promised to those who love him. But you have insulted the poor. Is it not the rich who are exploiting you? Are they not the ones who are dragging you into court? James says, look, listen, when your prejudice is wrong because it's contrary to the will of God. God does not show favoritism. When the Gentiles were being brought into church, Cornelius sends, after having a vision, Cornelius the Gentile sends to the city of Joppa for Peter, the Apostle Peter, to come to him. Remember Peter's reaction? Peter almost had to be reconverted to get him to Joppa, to get him to Caesarea. So Peter's up on the roof and Peter, he falls into his trance, you know, clean and unclean and so on. So finally, Peter gets himself to the house of Cornelius and he brings six Jewish brothers with him. Verifying everything that's going on. And finally, the light come on. In Acts 10 and in verse 34 to 35, Peter says, for now I perceive of a truth. That God is no respecter of person, but that God accepts men of every nation who fear him and who will do what is right. The Apostle Paul told the men of Athens in Acts 17 chapter and the 26th verse, Paul told them that God from one man made men of every nation. We all go back to Adam. We all go back to Adam. If we say that we love God, we cannot discriminate a person by their outward appearance. John said in 1 John chapter 4, verse 20, if a man says, I love God, but hates his brother, he is a liar. How can he say that he hates his brother whom he has seen, and then say, I love God whom I have not seen? Now, 1 John 4, 20, we all know. You know what the very next verse says? 1 John 4, 21, the very next verse, John says, and this is his commandment to us. That whosoever loves God must love his brother. So prejudice, discrimination, is wrong because it is contrary to the faith that we have in Jesus. How do we say, yes, Jesus is my Lord, but I don't like him without my Lord glory? Prejudice is wrong because it's contrary to the will of God. This is not what God's will is all about at all. Now, here's what we need to think about. We need to think about what discrimination does to us. To
us.
Look what this passage says it does to us. In verse 6. In verse 6, it says, "But you have insulted the poor." It causes us to insult others. A better word than insult there is to degrade. When you are discriminate towards somebody else, you are discrediting, you are degrading that person. You're degrading that person. In verse number 3, he says, what discrimination does for us. In verse 3, he says, it causes us to show special attention to some than we do others. What does discrimination do to us? It causes us to degrade
other humanity. It causes us to be selective in who we serve. What does discrimination do for us?
According to verse 9, it's a sin.
James goes on to say in the sin passage, what discrimination does for us is that it sets us up as judges where we are judging other people.
We are not the judge. We will be judged. So what does he say? He says discrimination is wrong because it's contrary to the faith that you say you have in Jesus. He tells the brethren discrimination is wrong because it's contrary to the will of God. Number 3. James says discrimination is wrong because it's contrary to the word of God. Now I want you to look at verse 8 and verse 9. Verse 8 and 9. He says, if you really keep the royal law found in the scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you're doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. Now in this passage, James talks about the royal law. Now what is the royal law?
The royal law is the law of love.
Hold James. Go with me. Stay with me. Turn to Romans 13. Romans chapter 13, verse 8 and verse 9. James says, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. The commandment, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commandments are summed up in this one rule, love your neighbor as yourself. Discrimination is contrary to the word of God.
The royal law is the law of love. Now, why is that the royal law? It's the royal law because it is a law that emanated from King Jesus. Jesus said in John 13,
a new commandment I give you,
that you should love one another as I have loved you, and by this shall all men know
you are my disciples because you love one another. Now look at what he says. He says that the royal law is love your neighbor as yourself. So question, who's my neighbor? You know, Jesus was asked that exact question once. In Luke the 10th chapter, Jesus was asked, well then, who is my neighbor? You know what? Jesus knew the answer to that. So in Luke 10, beginning with verse 30, Jesus said, listen, there was a man who was traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves, and he was beaten and left half dead in the road.
Jesus said there was a priest who came by, the son, and crossed on the other side. Jesus said there was a Levite son and crossed on the other side. And Jesus said then a Samaritan come and saw him, and the Samaritan took care of him. And took him to the inn. And had an innkeeper care for him. And he told the innkeeper, now, here's money, but if it costs more than what I've given you, when I come back, I'll make up the difference, but you take care of him. And then Jesus asked the question, which one of the three, priest, the Levite, and Samaritan, which one of the three was a neighbor to the man who fell among the thieves? They said, the Samaritan was. He says, right.
The Samaritan was his neighbor. A man who was a total stranger to him was his neighbor. The man who was a different race than he was his neighbor. The point of Luke 10, the point of the Good Samaritan, is that the man who was beaten was a Jew, and that two Jews, a priest and a Levite, passed by and left the living there, but a Samaritan, according to the Jewish people, came by and he helped him. And he said, well, the Samaritan was his neighbor. And in verse 37, Jesus says, now you go and do likewise. Discrimination is contrary to the Word of God. It's contrary to the Word of God. And this is a big deal. And James doesn't want them to miss this point. So he says to them, he continues this line of thought. Look at verse 10. He says, for whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles in just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. You understand what he's saying? James is saying that the law of Christ is one big whole. And if you violate any part of that big whole, you are under the condemnation of that whole one. Now look, we understand this. Look at the law of the land. Look, how many laws do you have to break to become a criminal? Right? You don't have to break into every house in Detroit to be a criminal. Just get in one of them. You don't have to steal every car in Michigan to be a criminal. You just steal one. We understand this. We are under the law of Christ. And a lot of people want to count us off at law. We're not under the law. Sure, we're under the law. Sure, we're not under the law of Moses, but we're under the law of Christ. Romans 4 and 1 Corinthians 9, we're under the law of Christ. So what is James's point here? What James's point here? The part of the law of Christ that they had stolen, what part was it? They had discriminated. They had been prejudiced. And the point that James is making is that he wanted the brethren to know that this is not some insignificant sin. When you degrade another person, when you face discriminate somebody, you've committed sin and you are under the condemnation of the law of Jesus Christ. Quickly notice one more thing. James says that discrimination is wrong and that everybody needs to understand that the judgment of God is a sure thing. Now, how does the judgment of God relate to discrimination? Look at verse 12 and 13. Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom. Because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. He said, well, I'm not sure what that means. Then let me explain it before you get up from where you are at.
Our judgment from God is going to be determined mightily by our treatment of other people. Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 14 and 15, in words that you cannot misunderstand, if you will forgive others their sin, God will forgive you of your sin. And if you do not forgive others of their sin, God will not forgive you of your sin. Jesus said in Matthew 5 and verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they will obtain mercy. What did he say? What did he say?
Is that if you go through life putting everybody under your microscope,
and looking at everybody, and this is wrong, that is wrong, that one day God is going to put your child under that same microscope. The way we will be judged will largely be determined by the way we have judged and the way that we have treated other people. This was a common sin among Christians in the days of James. It is tragic, still a common sin among people today. To face discrimination, to catch a glimpse of somebody, and then to dare judge them based on outward situation or circumstance that you see. We must be careful with that. Because in our disregard and contempt and degrading of other people, we must be careful. Because we may end up rejecting certain people that God has accepted.
Yes.
And for one hunk of flesh to place himself over another hunk, and for someone who was created in the image of God to look down their nose at another created in the image of God, that's contempt. That's contempt. I have learned that all of us, have enough sin hanging off of us to cut some slack to every other one of us. Prejudice is wrong because it's contrary to the faith that we say we hold in Jesus. It's wrong because it's contrary to the will of God. That's not God at all. It's contrary to the word of God. The royal law says love your neighbor as yourself. And we need to remember, the day of judgment is sure. And what goes around comes around. And the way we've treated others will come to bear someday on ourselves. And great will be the fall of it. If you're here this evening and if you're not a Christian, we encourage you to embrace the gospel of Jesus Christ. The word of God is amazing. This was written some 2,000 years ago, and you could take this and put this on the front page of any newspaper in the world.
If you're here this afternoon, if you need to respond in any way, we give you an opportunity to do that right now as together we stand and as we sing.
All things are ready. Come to thee. Come, for the rain will down and spread.